What up, my dudes, and welcome to the best things about pro wrestling this month. The show we talk about some of the best things about pro wrestling in any given month, whether it's a match, segment, character development, anything between. This is a show where we talk about some of the highlights of professional wrestling in any particular month. I'm Omar, the same host that remember that life isn't, to quote Vince McMahon, such good shit. Now, I am talking about the month of November, but we'll sprinkle in a little bit of what happened in December so far, considering that, number one, it's like we're like in the middle of the month now. I'm recording this on December 12th, so that's before winter is coming. I'm going to post this on Friday, so for all I know, Ricky Starks won the fucking title, the AEW title, which I highly doubt, but yeah. So yeah, I'm going to talk about some highlights of pretty much all of November, but some of December so far. So here we go. So yeah, before I get into those, before I get into the topics that I'm going to talk about, I just want to say thank you guys so much for the support of this podcast so far. Yeah, this has been, I've been doing this for like almost a year now, which is wild, because like February was like the first month. It was like the month that I launched my blog, which honestly, I'm going to announce right now, it's on retirement now. This is going, my podcast is my main priority now. Like my blog is not in immediate retirement, unless I feel like I want to, you know, review a show, whatever. But yeah, so it's wild that like I launched my blog, it used to be a podcast directory, in February of 2018, which is gonna turn 5 years old, and now with this podcast, I joined in February of 2022. It's not February 14th, but it's like somewhere around February, so it's like kind of bittersweet, right? So yeah, I want to thank you guys so much. You know, I've been on the top 40, and now I'm in the top 30 now. And the reason why I know this, and I'm in the top 30 in the Western Asian markets, the reason why I know this is because I had some dude just like, some person just emailed me, and they were like, hey, you know, your podcast, by the way, is in the top 30. And also, if you want to use our podcast and data tool, analytical tool, you could just use it with a discount. So that's why I know all these things, because, you know, I don't bother to look it up for it, at least allegedly, maybe. I don't know. So, yeah. So if I would describe my year as with a pro wrestler, like in as a pro wrestler, like as a metaphor, I'd say I'm doing like a Rey Mysterio 2002 year. Like, not a Kurt Angle, not a Ronda Rousey in 2018, or Kurt Angle the year 2000, or Brock Lesnar 2002. I'll say I'm doing Rey Mysterio in 2002. Some success, but not as gigantic, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, this is what I'm gonna, this is how I'm just gonna describe my year. And I just want to say again, thank you so much for listening to this. This is something that I've wanted to actually do a podcast since like the day, because actually, for those you don't know, my blog, which is why I play out wrestling podcast on blogspot.com, was actually supposed to be a podcast directory. So I just want to record, instead of like doing written work for Wrestling Amino that I used to do, Wrestling Amino, I wanted to change for mediums, basic from written to audio, because, you know, it was something different, and that's why I'm like, I like doing this, because, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's different, it's something new, you feel me? So, but yeah, the fact that I could fulfill those dreams, fulfill those goals, like, earlier this year is awesome, so thank you guys so much. And also, speaking of success, the YouTube shorts, you guys have been killing it. I'm almost reaching 10,000 views, and that's, I've posted, like, less than 10 clips so far, and I'm already reaching 10,000 views, and almost 30 subs on you. I'm like 26 now, but we reached 30 at some point. Okay, it's gonna happen. So yeah, you guys have been killing on the YouTube short, TikTok, same thing. You know, every video is like around 500 to 1,000 views, similar to like YouTube, sometimes 2,000 depending on the topic. So thank you guys so much. I've been killing it, so like, you know, hopefully, God willing, you know, more success is coming towards me, you know, with next year and the years and beyond. So it is what it is. So yeah, let me get that out of the way. So now let's just mention the honorable mention, shall we? Because November has been a very eventful month. So, you know, let's mention some honorable, and there was a lot. Like I said, there was a lot of things happened in November. So let's just mention the honorable mentions out of the way. Yes, number one, and this may sound like a joke, but Tyrus as NWA champion, because it's fucking hilarious that a Fox News anchor is basically a world champion for a certain company. But then again, a guy by the name of John Bradshaw Layfield did it first. So suffice to say, Billy Corgan legit ripped it up in regards to NWA Power. If you remember that theme song, then you're a champion. At least not really, because who gives a fuck about fucking Tyrus? Who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck about Brodus Clay? Like, anyways, I mean, yeah, he is legit. Not only his opinions, but also like his wrestling and his opinions on like anything in general. Anyways. Honorable mention number two is Logan Paul versus Roman Reigns at the Crown Jewel show. Logan Paul wrestled so fucking hard. He legit almost destroyed his fucking knee. You know, he tore his ACL. Apparently he's ready time for WrestleMania, but yeah. This is just off the cuff, but yeah. Apparently he tore his ACL. He's kind of back, not really. So we'll see what happens. I will say I would love to see a Logan Paul versus a Cena match. I think from the promo standpoint alone, I wouldn't mind seeing it. If you told me this like 4 or 5 years ago, oh yeah, you know, Logan Paul versus Cena, yo, that, yeah, if you told me like Logan Paul versus John Cena, I was like, nah, man, I'm not, not that dude. But now it's like, because he's had three matches so far, and all of those matches have been spectacular, I do think a Logan Paul versus a Cena match is something that I would legit want to see, just from a promo perspective, because I do think John Cena will bring his A game, and I think it could also test out Logan Paul's mic skills, because I'm being honest, based on like his boxing matches like KSI and all these other guys, he's not the greatest when it comes to like on mic presence. So I do think it could be a great challenge for him as a performer when he, when he like does, basically when he does a, you know, promo style kind of promo. Wow, I sound like what's that dude's name? I sound like Good Lucha Things. That's what I sound. I sound like I'm saying Good Lucha Things. Yeah, whatever. This is the worst podcast of all time. But yeah, hit the 5-star. But you get what I mean. I do think Logan Paul as a performer, I do think he could challenge himself. I do think he could like challenge himself by doing a promo or like a mic kind of segment with Cena, especially since he's pretty good at it. I mean, Cena in this case. So yeah, yeah. Logan Paul versus Cena at WrestleMania. Sign me up. Honorable mention number two: Konosuke Tanahashi. Oh my god, I still fuck up his name. You know, I love the dude. He's been like ever since Forbidden Door. I've been a fan of this dude, and I'm telling you right now, the reason why I'm happy that he signed with AEW is because he has the greatest Blue Thunder Bombs I've ever seen. And I'm going to argue it's better than fellow Usy himself, Sami Zayn. I'd say it's better than Sami Zayn's one. I think his Blue Thunder Bombs are great. So, yeah. Honorable mention number four is not wrestling related. I mean, it is wrestling related, but it's more wrestling video game related. So all the three gamers that are listening to this. This is an article that I recently found, and basically it hints that WWE wants to take their time with their 2K series, and specifically on the 2K side. Let me just read the article real quick. See, I'm typing it right now. I'm just doing this off the cuff because this is what happens. Doing a solo show fucking sucks. I need a fucking carry, man. I fucking suck at this shit. So, but hit that 5 stars though if you enjoy this off the cuff stuff. So yeah, speaking to the rap, WWE senior vice president Scott Zanghele. I'm fucking up Italian names. See, look, I'm hating on POCs, my fellow POCs. But yeah, spoke about the company's relationship. I'm reading from Wrestle Talk, by the way. Spoke about the company's relationship with technology like video games and NFTs, explain why the company's interested in establishing himself in these markets. Sangalini, I don't know, it sounds like a fucking pasta, bro. Sounds like a fucking pasta that I would eat. Anyways, the second that we do something that's not authentic, our fans take notes, right? This seems like cash grab. It's got to be something that they want 75 of our fans self-identify as gamers. I think it's about 60% play 7 hours of video games a week or more. So massive audience that's into video games. as technology advance, what are the offerings we can give them? What can we expect? What can we experiment with there, knowing what they are? You know, how to, you have to meet them when they are with our NFTs. NFTs, for example, digital collectibles. We'll see the success of that. It's all worked out in terms of our long-term partnership to make sure that we're partnering with the best in class partners. Gaming is a category that we'll be in shortly. Again, I'm going to keep that tight-lipped. So basically what he's saying is, you know, we're going to take our time with the 2K series, and you know, we don't want to, you know, put it out there for sake of putting out there. So yeah, so it's one of those promo. It's basically, you know, we're going to take our time. And speaking of 2K, news just dropped, like, I think a few weeks ago by Fightful Select, but now PW Insider is reporting. So yeah, according to PW Insider, a 2K23 commercial was filmed in, I believe it was Los Angeles, right, with Mike Johnson. And in Los Angeles. Yeah, Mike Johnson reported on PW. What the fuck's wrong with me? Hit that 5 stars though. But these are the list of superstars that were on the shoot. That includes Cody Rhodes, Rhea Ripley, Damian Priest, Bianca Belair, Rey Mysterio, Dominic Mysterio, and Johnny Gargano. Dominic Mysterio, aka Rey Mysterio's favorite child right now, because he would love to see that dude, especially if you've seen that Thanksgiving video, the video where he went to, him and Rhea Ripley went to Rey Mysterio's house, and Dominic was beating the crap out of his father, which I would never, look, if you grew up in an African immigrant household, I would never do it. My dad would beat me up. Like, if I did that to my dad, that would have turned out completely different. So, but yeah, anyway, so he was beating up his, and he said it on the, I think it was WWE's The Bump, and he said the reason why I'm doing this is because he put a Christmas tree on November, and that's fucking stupid. I was like, yo, that shit is funny. I'm not gonna lie. If Dominic Mysterio could show off his funny side, his humorous side more and more and more, I think it could be gold. Cause honestly, I'm liking Dominic Mysterio as a heel. I never thought I would see it coming. Cause the dude is kind of bland on TV, and when he was teaming with his father. So the fact that Dominic Mysterio is doing great, great things, doing great work, and I think he is gonna be the standout performer. In the Judgment Day stable, like, not Finn Balor, not Damian Priest, Rhea Ripley to some extent, but I'm gonna say it's Dominic Mysterio. We're gonna see a whole new Dominic Mysterio with his personality side intact, and I think it's gonna be great. He is by far the best things of the best thing, no pun intended, on the best things about Judgment Day. So I would love to see him, you know, just, you know, go out on his own, because I do think we're seeing a character development for him. So yeah, again, that shit was funny, especially that Christmas tree on November. That shit was hilarious, which he's voicing out people, people's frustration, especially when November hits. They play like, what's that song with Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas, yeah, that one, the Mariah Carey song. So like, fuck, this really, it's just November already, what the fuck. So yeah, it is what it is. So yeah, let's get into the things that I liked about in the month of November and bits of December, right? So that's all the arm mentions of the day. I know it's weird because this is a lot more, so let's talk about the best things about pro wrestling in the month of November and bits of December, of course. So yeah, the best things about pro wrestling in the month of November is, of course, MJF winning the AEW title. The build for this match between him and Jon Moxley was awesome. I mean, the last time they wrestled, I mean, it was for the title. It was, I think it was All Out 2020. And back then, he didn't, giving the title to MJF, even back then, would have, I was like, why would you do that? Still, like, kind of early in his career. The character hasn't been developed yet. Like, I don't think it made sense that they would give him the title then. But now, I do think the title feels, I don't know how to say it, earned? I don't like the word earned. The reason why, it's from a caveat perspective, it doesn't make any sense. I do think it's bittersweet. I think the right word is bittersweet. I do think it is a bittersweet moment, especially since I was listening to Freddie Prinze Jr.'s podcast with Chris Van Vliet, right? And I was listening to him, and he was talking about how, I think I'm butchering this, of course, but he said it during the, my bad, you like my sinuses? Hit that 5 stars, though. You like that sinuses though? Oh my god, I hit that 5 stars though. If you like that sinuses though. So yeah, he was talking about how, like, MJF actually texted Freddie Prinze Jr. Frenz just knows every fucking wrestler at this point based on the interviews that I've listened to and his podcast, Wrestling with Freddie. But anyway, so he was talking about how after he won, he was like, we did it. He typed in the text group. He was like, we did it. And then Freddie replies, no, you did it because you worked hard for this. And you've worked hard for many, many years to get to that journey in the first place. And that is 1,000. That's if that comment was a tweet, I'll put in 100%. I'll reply with 100% emoji because God damn it, he is right. He's worked years and years and years at this. And this is somebody from a guy who once hated that character. I hated that MJF character. Not because, oh, he's a heel. He's working on you, bro. You're getting worked, bro. worked. You're getting worked, bro. Has nothing to do with that. I just think that character is way too 1970s. Very one-dimensional heel character. You know, it's just people like him because he was like, oh, he reminds of the 70s where, like, you know, wrestlers were pricked not only on television but also in real life to maintain kayfabe. But I do think in the post-kayfabe world, I do think MJF, the reason what made me warm up to it was seeing his multi-dimensional aspect, seeing the fact, his origin story, how as a kid he's dealt with anti-Semitism, like I said, or dealing with anti-Semitism, and the fact that even during that segment with William Regal, which we did, that segment, which we talked about a month ago in the previous episode, which you can listen to, and hit that 5 stars, by the way. So he talked about how he's worked many, many years for this to get noticed by William Regal, only to say, hey, you know, just work hard and you might be successful one day. And he, you know, it's, you kind of like sympathize with him. Like, I don't want, look, not I don't want, I mean, I don't, obviously it's my fucking opinion, but I don't want, like, I don't think MJF being like the full-fledged babyface makes any fucking sense, but I do think him just being an asshole but still an asshole that you can relate to, that I think that's what makes great villains, right? Villains believe that they're the heroes of their own story, and I think MJF is a great example of that. He thinks he's doing great things. He thinks he's actually doing the best thing for himself, especially since the world has treated him like shit. And this is like a payback for, fuck you, I'm successful now. This is what happens when I've been, this is what happens when you treat me like shit. This is what happens when you abandon me. You're abandoning success. You're abandoning gold. You're abandoning, you know, a potential, like, friend who's, like, successful, who's doing better things than you because you treated me like shit my entire fucking life. You know what I mean? So I do think that was a bittersweet moment for, like, MJF and the character, especially since we've seen that character development, we've seen that moments, and we've seen his feud, you know, even we've seen bits of it during his feud with CM Punk. So, like, we're kind of warming up to that MJF kind of character. So I do think it does make sense that MJF wins that title, and I want to see where he goes from here. And we know where he goes from here, because speaking of that promo, I mean, you need opponents, right? You need opponents. So, you know, you can't talk about a world title reign without opponents, right? That's what people think of. They think of the quality of matches and the rivalries and stories, right? And that promo and rivalries and stories. And we found that story, right? And we found one of his first opponents. And that person, his name is the Absolute Ricky Starks. I know my man Seahawk is gonna love this guy because he's been a fan of his for years, so he's gonna love this guy. But yeah, the Absolute Ricky Starks. And the reason why I'm including this is because my second best things about Pro Wrestling in the month of November and bits of December is Ricky Starks promo on Dynamite against MJF. And man, talk about a star, talk about a dude who is literally, I would say, give him the world title. If I was AEW and this would have made no sense, I'd just give him that title already based on that promo alone. Because I'm recording this before winter's coming, and also prediction, I highly doubt he's going to lose that title. MJF, I mean. But yeah, Ricky Starks promo, man. Holy fuck. So good. This man literally was like an equal to MJF. I was like, yo, this man was cooking him, bro. He cooked him. You know, he was literally on his level. And let me tell you something about the Absolute Ricky Starks. This man literally has been so underutilized for so fucking long, and it kind of frustrates me, especially when you're a fan of it. The dude has the look, the mic, and everything. Yeah, he basically looks like a light skin, you know, short forehead version of Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson, but he is way more than that. If you listen to him, he's way more than that. I think what made what made him different? I mean, if you want to compare him to like Dwayne The Rock, what makes him different from like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, in my opinion, is that he has intensity. He has, I mean, I'm not saying The Rock can never had intensity or passion in his entire life, but I do think, but I, not his entire, but his entire like wrestling career, but I do think that intensity and that intensity is what made Ricky Stark different from Dwayne, if we're gonna compare, because honestly I feel like they're two completely different people. I just think they're comparing because they're both light skinned niggas. But yeah, yeah, exactly, basically two light skinned niggas. But here's the thing, yeah, I do think Ricky Stark's promo of MJF was great, and the fact that it kind of proves that Ricky Starks do belong in the main event fucking scene. And I do think Ricky Starks, the fact that he's not been utilized, goes to show that it kind of exposes the bigger problem with AEW, which is their roster is really, 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 really fucking thin. And I do think that thinness, the roster is way too bloated, is what I'm trying to say. WWE's roster is also getting thin because of the unfortunate releases that they had throughout, especially throughout the past few years right now. But yeah, did I say thin? Oh my god, hit that 5 stars for that terrible take. But yeah, AEW's roster is way too bloated, which is why like AEW has, you only can do so much with a big roster, to a point they can actually do a brand split. If I'm being legitimately honest, they can actually do a fucking brand, which I don't want them to do, but I do think a brand split for like AEW does make sense, especially since they've been signing everybody from left to right. But yeah, Ricky, because of it is why Ricky Starks has been kind of in the sidelines for a little bit. So the fact that we're seeing Ricky Starks in the world title scene with MJF is fucking awesome, and hopefully this is not the last we see him in that main event picture. And I'm gonna predict right now, in 2 years, or not even in a year from now, Ricky Starks AEW champion. I'm gonna do it right now, AEW world champion in like at least a year or a few years, or if it's not a year, at least 2 years from now, because he deserves it. I don't know why I said deserve again, like deserve it from a cave of perspective. Yeah, but it's bittersweet for his character and his motivations and his hard work and his dedication. I do think Ricky Starks in 2 years, if it's not next year, it's gonna be the year after that, he's gonna be a world champion, mark my fucking words. So yeah, here's the thing, all my three viewers are gonna mark this and say, oh my god, what the fuck, they're gonna mark this in like year from now, he's not the world champion. I said either this year and next year or the year after that, so it is what it is. So yeah, that was the best thing about pro wrestling the month of December. Also, by the way, another this is an off-the-top honorable mention. The FTR's match with the Briscoe brothers at Final Battle was fucking awesome. I never thought they would top their match at Final Battle. They would never top their match. I think, what pay-per-view? It was the previous Ring of Honor pay-per-view. I mean, the previous Ring of Honor pay-per-view in like, I think a few months ago. Which, look, this goes to show how much of a shill I am, because I barely watch anything outside of WWE or AEW. I watch bits of NWA Power and bits of Impact, but I wouldn't, not enough. I watch NWA Power just to see Tyrus fucking fail. I don't know why. I'm smoking that pack. That's the Tyrus pack, you know, but it is what it is. But yeah, so yeah, that match with FTR and the Briscoe brothers is honestly, like, it is my match of the year. That they had their match in July, but this one, it kind of topped it, honestly. So I'm gonna say, like, that is my match of the year. I know Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch is like my second, I believe, and Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins is also up there. But yeah, but that match with FTR and the Briscoe brothers, match of the year, literally match of the year. I never thought they would top, because usually in professional wrestling, usually their first match is their best, and their second, third match, aka their rubber match, will be like, it's good, but not as great as like their third match. And I think that match with the Briscoe brothers and FTR and Briscoe brothers and the Cody Rhodes Seth Rollins match kind of proves that, like, you know, it kind of changed that perception. Now people are like, oh, their second, I prefer the second or third match better than the OG ones. Because usually in the movie, it's like, you know, usually when there's a trilogy, it's like, okay, the first movie is great, and the first movie is okay, but like the second one is great, and the third one is not as good as the second one, but still pretty good. But like in professional wrestling, at least in my opinion, the first match is usually the great one, and then the second and the third one is like, it's still good, but not as, it doesn't touch the original. So I do the original, right? So I think those matches kind of prove that it's kind of changing that perception where Yeah, now it's like the second match and the third match is even better than the last, similar to like a typical movie trilogy that most fans would watch, you know? So, yeah, that's my off the top honorable mention because I just watched that last night, man. I had a good fucking time. So, yeah. That is the best thing about pro wrestling in the month of that's my second best thing about pro wrestling in the month of September, November with bits of December. And by the way, let me just say something. The reason why I'm doing the bits of December and the entire November because I'm not gonna record the best things about pro wrestling in the month of December because like that's the holidays and I want to take a break. I mean, I do take this podcast seriously, but like at the same time, I do not wanna. I at the same time, like I want to spend time. Like at the same time, I just want to take a break. You know, especially it's a work day. Like so, it's a day off, and you know, did I just say day work day? Yeah, it's like a day off, and so I want to take that day off and just relax. You know, I love talking, but like I don't like talking for like a good like 3 hours. This is I've been talking for almost like 30 hours. I've been talking for like almost 30 minutes, 26 minutes to be exact. So yeah, it is what it is. Yeah, and also by the way, I'm gonna keep before I talk about the third best thing about pro wrestling the month of November with bits of December. I'm gonna tell you right now. This is gonna be a short one, and what I mean by short, it's gonna be like almost like I said 30 hours. It's gonna be 30 minutes. That's like my aim, 30 to 40 minutes. So yeah, it is what it is. It's gonna be really really short. So it is what it is. Especially since November, a lot of shit happened. A lot of like great things happened. I had to like condense it to a little fucking bit, you know. So yeah, let's move on to the final. The third and the final best things about pro wrestling in the month of November with a bits of December is the ending of the men's War Games match. Now, here's the thing about Survivor Series this year. Let me give you a quick review for Survivor Series 2022. I love the five match format that they're doing because honestly, I'm sick and tired of these 4 hour fucking shows that AEW does. That's one of the things I hated about AEW is that they're 4 hour fucking shows. It's fucking long. You don't have to put everything. You can save those matches on a Dynamite or a Rampage or a Dark or Dark Elevation. Why are you putting it on a fucking pay-per-view? I think there's certain matches where it belongs on television, in my opinion, because it's just too fucking much, especially when you live overseas and like those matches happen like 6 a.m. in the morning when you're like your eyes are fucking wide open and like. It's so fucking annoying, man. It's just really fun. So I'm really liking the five match format. It's only like a few hours long. I think it's like two War Games matches, but plus a few side matches. And yeah, I will say the pay-per-view was good. I thought the women, the SmackDown women's match was fucking awful. Let me just say that right now. Brian Kendrick apparently produced that match, and he fucking failed big time because that was terrible. Not only he's a person, that match was also. You know what I mean? So, if you like that fart noise, hit that 5 stars. You know, shout out to Master of Disguise for making fart jokes actually funny because that was the best part about that film was that fart jokes and nothing else. So, I don't know, half of you motherfuckers don't even know what I'm talking about. But yeah, Master of Disguise, don't watch that film. Only the fart jokes are funny, but that's it. So yeah, so the end. So, but I will say the best things about. Oh my God, no pun intended. The best things about the pay-per-view. Was the two War Games matches specifically? I enjoyed the women's match as a whole, like from a as a whole, but like the men's War Games match, I enjoyed it as well. But like, I enjoyed especially like the closing moments. And I'm gonna talk about the closing moments. This is where Sami Zayn was like kind of eyeing on Kevin Owens and he like gave him a low blow, Huluva kick, 1 2 3, you know, Huluva kick, you know, and 1 2 3. That was when the reason why I loved this match, the ending was because. For a while, like Roman Reigns was like, I'm kind of on board, but I'm not so sure if I trust this guy. And I do think this is the stamp of approval where I do think he's like, I finally trust this guy. Like the fact that he would do whatever Sami Zayn will do, whatever it takes to gain loyalty to Roman Reigns by backstabbing, by beating the shit out of his best friend for like 20 plus years goes to show you that Roman Reigns, that stamp approval of trust that Roman Reigns has, which I do think this could lead to some that trust going away once I do think either Sami Zayn wins the Royal Rumble or he wins one of those number one contender Elimination Chamber matches. But I do think my prediction is. Either Sami Zayn or Cody Rhodes wins the Royal Rumble. One of those two folks are going to win the Royal Rumble. And one of them are going into WrestleMania facing Roman Reigns. I do think Cody Rhodes winning the Royal Rumble, to me, I'm not a fan of it, honestly. I wouldn't hate it, but that wouldn't be my first choice. My first choice would be Sami Zayn winning the Royal Rumble, because I do think that would have made sense from like a storytelling perspective. Number one, because you've been telling this, is Sami loyal or Sami not loyal for like many nuns now. How many nuns there are in a fucking month? I don't know. That was such a weird fucking comment. Hit that 5 stars for that weird fucking comment about nuns, apparently. But so the thing, him gaining his trust, the trust of Roman Reigns does lead to him leading to him winning the Royal Rumble, kind of makes it kind of the trust kind of iffy now, and you can like build it towards WrestleMania where finally Roman Reigns backstabs him, and that's where I feel like this is where you turn Sami Zayn babyface. I do think if you want to turn Sami Zayn into a babyface, I do think him challenging his leader Roman Reigns for one of the championships, because I do think the title is getting it split, right? I don't know. You guys agreement on that? I don't know. All my three listeners, I don't know. Like, do you guys agree? I do think the title will be split up at some point. I do think they're going to do like two matches. One of them is going to be like Cody Rhodes. The other one's going to be with Sami Zayn, or like The Rock, depending on the rumors, which, by the way, I don't think they're going to, I would highly doubt that they're going to pull a Rock winning the Royal Rumble or a Rock facing Roman Reigns. If they do it, they're going to do it, but like I mean, if there's one thing we've learned from the Logan Paul matches, like they will do it for the title. I just don't think they're going to, I don't think they're going to like have The Rock win the title or like win the Royal Rumble, because I feel like that's a very Vince McMahon kind of booking. I don't think that's a Triple H kind of, excuse me, that was a Triple H kind of, that's not a Triple H booking, that's more of Vince McMahon kind of. If Vince McMahon's still here, yeah, he's gonna have the Rock win the Royal Rumble. But I do think since Triple H is in charge, or as you WWE fanboys or shills like myself would say, Papa H, I do think, you know, Triple H, because he's in charge now, I do think we have a little bit more faith that The Rock may or may not win the Royal Rumble. Who knows? He might fucking win the Royal Rumble. I don't fucking know. He's gonna win the fucking Royal Rumble. I don't fucking know. Anything is possible. But I do think The Rock winning the Royal Rumble, or like at least if you want to have a Roman Reigns versus The Rock match, at least do it at like WrestleMania. At least do it for the non title, not for the title, rather. But also, I was listening to another pitch from Solomon. So I do think you could like break that loyalty, but you don't want to have Sami Zayn necessarily face Roman Reigns. You could just have him gain the trust of Kevin Owens, team up with Kevin Owens against the Usos, and face him for the tag team titles. I think that Solomon said it on his latest on his podcast like a few weeks ago. I do think that would be another great idea, where you can have team up with Kevin Owens, do that kind of friendship bittersweet kind of thing, which will be very emotional. I will shed a tear, a thug tear, in my opinion. That would be very bittersweet against the Usos. I do think that match for the tag team titles, I do think that would be great. But also, my pitch, I do think if you want to make Sami Zayn a babyface, there's two ways. You could pull the Solomon Monster way that he said, where you can have team with Kevin Owens and face him for, and not face and face a team with Kevin Owens and face the Usos for the tag team title. Or you could have him win the Royal Rumble, which I do think would be nice. And you could build this kind of, is he loyal, is he not loyal kind of thing. And then you could like face him, Roman Reigns, for the title, where Sami Zayn could like, I don't think Sami will finally dethrone Roman Reigns, but you can like have him a great, great showing to the point where he lost, yes, but like the crowd would be so much behind him that this is where you could turn Sami Zayn a babyface. So there's like two ways you could do it. But I do think the tag team, him teaming with Kevin Owens against the Usos is the likely scenario. I don't think Sami's going to win the Royal Rumble. I do think that's something I want to do personally, because I do think that's where, this is where the story will be fulfilling. The story will be fulfilled. But I do think the two people that are going to win the Royal Rumble, unfortunately, in this case, is The Rock. And somebody who I wouldn't mind is Cody Rhodes. So I do think it's either The Rock or Cody Rhodes. But that's just my opinion, though. And yeah, that is the best things about pro wrestling in the month of November and bits of December. Hope you guys really enjoyed it. If you did, please hit that 5 stars. I know I've said it once. I think I've said that once, right? Yeah, hit that 5 stars on Apple Podcast and Spotify. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at Homer the Player Guy. If you want to go to my YouTube show, it's at Best Things of All Pro Wrestling. You can just find it anywhere. It's on TikTok and on YouTube. You can just like, you know, follow it, subscribe. You can like subscribe on the YouTubes. So yeah, you can do that. Follow me on Twitter at @Omer_theplayerguy. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Like I said, I could tell you about my site, Player Wrestling Podcast, blogspot.com. But honestly, the site is kind of mostly retired until I feel like writing like what happened at Royal Rumble or WrestleMania or something. But yeah, the site is mostly retired. I'm not gonna be as consistent as I once was, mainly because number one, I have a job. I have college now, although I do have a day off now. My year doesn't start until January because I have a month like holiday season kind of off. So yeah, then creating those videos, like 4 or 5 clips every single week, that takes time. And honestly, I have to like either choose the site or the YouTubes. And so far, I got to choose the, because I feel like that is more fulfilling. And only even the viewership has been gaining, because I remember in my site, it took me 3 months to reach my first 3,000 or 4,000 views, right? It took me in less than a video or two to reach that that 3,000 or 4,000 that 2,000 to 3,000 views. So yeah, I mean, not only is doing better viewership, I'm also mentally and physically satisfied. So yeah, it is what it is. Yeah, I'm just gonna end it there, and thank you guys so much for listening to this. And we'll see you in late January, where hopefully I'm gonna have a guest on, because this is gonna be a solo show. So yeah, see you guys, and I don't know how to end this, but I guess I'm gonna say we out.